Amen. You may be seated this morning. I want to, as we continue on today, I'm going to invite the kids to, if they would, stand up. And you guys are released to go to Hope Kids today. The ambassadors are waiting for you. You guys are going to have fun, a good time. And we'll look forward to seeing you at the end of service today. For those of us in the sanctuary, we're going to keep on worshiping through our offering today. So we're going to take this moment and we're going to offer financially gifts to God that He may use them in spectacular ways to keep providing for ministry. In ways that we know we need, but in ways we don't even know that we need yet. You ever heard that phrase that says, I don't even know what I don't know? Right? Let that one sit in. I don't even know what I don't know. But the good thing is God knows. So today we're going to trust Him for what we know and what we don't know, that He'll use it for His glory. God, multiply it, I pray, in the sweet name of Jesus, and use our generosity and our joyful giving as an act of worship, that You'll just bless it because we just want it to be used by You. And I know you are not restrained by time, space, material resources. You can use it all in miraculous ways. And would you please do that? This is my prayer. Amen. Amen. May the Lord bless our worship and the Word today. May we hear His Spirit speak words of wisdom to us for our good, not just today, but in the days to come, that people will be drawn to You and Your Son through Your church. Amen. Amen. Sounds pretty good, brother. Well done. I love it. I love it. How many of you remember your first job? Can I remember your first job? How many of you are not looking forward to having your first job? There's probably a few in here that might be fitting the bill on that one. Well, I do remember my first job, but I want to fast forward a little bit, and I want to talk about a job I had after that, because it was kind of the jobs I had before that helped shape the way that I stepped into kind of what I guess I kind of felt was kind of the best job yet that I had gotten to, right? And so I was working for, I'd gotten hired at a natural gas utility company. You've probably heard me mention that before. And I was a different state, but I'd gotten hired with them, and I'd learned that, you know, when you come in, you remember that first day when you get there, you don't really know anybody, and you're ready to go. And I remember thinking, I got to have a good attitude when I step into here today. There's people that I'm going to have to report to, so I need to make sure that I do a good job of respecting authority. And so it was down in the deep south, and so we had the habit of saying, you know, yes, ma'am, no, ma'am, yes, sir, no, sir. And so I wanted to make sure that I did all of that, and that whoever was going to be teaching me, that I was listening to them. Whoever that trainer was for me, whether, you know, my boss or somebody in another department, an engineer that was going to be helping me, I want to make sure that I was listening, expecting that I was going to be learning something that was going to be very helpful for me. And then I knew that when I stepped into that new work environment, that it had a culture all of its own. Do you remember when you started that job and you get in there and it's like, wow, these people, they kind of have, there's a whole culture that's kind of at work here in the way that people talk to each other and the way they just kind of behave and the expectations of each other. And it's like, whoa, I got to take all this in. This is kind of new and different. And I knew that if I was going to be successful, I was going to have to conform to that culture, the things that were going to be helpful for me to grow and to do my job well. And I knew that I was going to have to show up and work to my best ability every day. That if I didn't show up, that was going to be a problem. But even when I did show up, I need to put my best foot forward and just do the best I could, because they hired me to help them do their job. So I need to do my job the best I could. And then I need to keep my eyes open, because I was a believer, and I knew that, you know, God is with us and He's working all around. And so there's some things that He maybe want to do. I need to just keep my eyes open. There may be opportunities. There may of all sorts, right? To speak a word of hope, to be able to, maybe there's an advancement, a different job or whatever. I just need to make sure that I was ready for whatever would come. And over time, I learned that those were some qualities that tend to yield better results and growth. They tend to. They may not always, but they overall, they tend to yield better results and better growth. Didn't really matter what your gender, your race was, your ethnicity, and granted, those are there are exceptions in there, and we can go through history. But generally speaking, those qualities tended to bring about better results over the long haul. The scriptures also give us a path for growth moving forward. And it is that path that I am taking us on to this year. And today I want to jump into scripture. If you have your Bible, I invite you to use that. I'll read them all, the verses I want to use today. But if you have your Bible, we're going to sit heavily in the book of Proverbs this morning. So if you want to go to start with Proverbs chapter 3, feel free to do that. But again, I'll read these verses to us today, so you can also just follow along if you want. And that'll be fine too, no worries. So God gives us what I really firmly believe is a biblical path to growth. And there is something that's at the crux of that growth. And I can put it in one word, and then I'm going to use a lot of other words to unpack it. So why don't you just go with the one and we'll call it good and we can get brunch. What's the fun in that? So that one word I want to give you that I think is at the crux of all good growth in our lives is wisdom. It's wisdom. And I want to unpack that for a little bit today with us, if I may. So Proverbs chapter 3, I promised you that's where we would start. If you would go to verse 1, the author writes these words. Says, "My son, do not forget my teaching, but keep my commands in your heart, for they will prolong your life many years and bring you prosperity." If you like a prosperity gospel, then you really get excited about that and think, man, God has promised He's going to give me all sorts of material wealth and gifts. And this is really good, right? It's in Scripture, Pastor. God says He'll give me all this stuff. Okay, that's not what He's saying. Look at verse 7 and verse 8. Actually, I'll take you there in a second, but let me take you over to verse 13. "Blessed is the man," or we could say or woman here, "who finds wisdom, the man who gains understanding, for she is more profitable than silver and yields better returns than gold. She is more precious than rubies. Nothing you desire can compare with her. Long life is in her right hand. In her left hand are riches and honor. Her ways are pleasant ways, and all her paths are peace." Listen to this, verse 18. "She is a tree of life to those who embrace her. Those who lay hold of her will be blessed." So if that's the case, now look at verse 7. "Do not be wise in your own ways, in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and shun evil. This will bring health to your body and nourishment to your bones." God wants goodness for your life. God wants to see you flourish in what is good for you. He does. God desires abundance for you. He desires prosperity for you, specifically in peace and love and joy, part of the fruit of the Spirit. Ultimately, that's what He wants most for you. Can He give you a prosperity of other things too? Well, yeah, man. Well, He owns the cattle on a thousand hills, the Scripture says. He can do that. He can bless you with that. It's not a hard thing for Him to do at all. When you read these passages, especially in the book of Proverbs, and you see that, as I read with you, that God wants such goodness for you, that there's a path that you can take in life that can bring about, more often than not, the goodness of God being blessed into your life. All right? What Proverbs also does, when you read Proverbs, you have to see that, but you also have to, you need to understand that the way that the author writes this is pitting the good against the bad, the wisdom against the folly, the life against death, the light against the darkness. It's the abundance against the scarcity. It's good versus evil. It's that if you do this, then this. But if you stray from this which is good, then the opposite is what the result will be. And that's a way of writing to help teach a lesson. What that does is it teaches us that we have options, that inherently you can choose what is good or you can choose what's foolish. You can choose what you know is profitable for you, or you can choose what you know will bankrupt you. You can choose to say what you're thinking, or you can choose to bite your tongue. You can choose to be impulsive because you lust after something of the flesh or something you see you got to have. Or you cannot. You can use self-control. You could be rash and angry and take that out. You could. Or you could not. You could check yourself before you wreck yourself. Pulling out of the vault on that one. Sorry about that. You have choices. And you go, tell me something I don't already know. Sorry. Choices matter. Choices matter. Just because you can doesn't mean you should. Just because you could doesn't mean you should. Just, you get it, right? Yeah. Ignoring wisdom has an alternative path that it takes us down. It has an outcome that is something that with Proverbs warns us is not healthy for us. It doesn't have a good return for us, the short run or in the long run. Could you imagine me going into my first day on that job and showing up, and if I walked in and said, I don't care who you are, ain't nobody going to tell me what to do. And I walked in with a bad attitude, and I walked in, said, you're not going to be able to tell me anything I don't already know. I have a degree in this field. I've worked in this field for a few years. I know it all. Let me teach you something. If I said, you know what, I don't care what the culture is around here. I am who I am. You guys need to mold yourselves around me because I matter more than the rest of you. That's awful prideful. If I showed up to work when I wanted to show up to work, when I rolled out of bed and I just got there when I did, and I said, you know what, I don't feel like giving about 2 hours of solid work today and the rest of it, that's all I want to give you today. I don't feel like it. I'm too tired. I think I must cut out early today. I'd like to go play some golf. I'd like to go fishing. It's a good day. If I showed up to work and I didn't pay attention to what was happening around me and what people needed from me Because all I cared about was all I wanted to do there in that day that was given to me. Can you imagine how long I would have lasted in that job? I'm thinking probably not long. I mean, it was a great place to work, and they made it hard to get fired. And they even told you that. And I couldn't believe the first time I heard that. I was like, why would you ever tell that to people? Like, you really have to screw up to get fired from here. I'm like, well, who does this? But I would have lost my job. Ignoring wisdom has a cost. Sin comes with a cost. You can't ignore that. In the book of Proverbs, it refers to it as the cost being darkness, being death, being separation from God. It's that which is foolish. It's empty. It's all the things that when we look at God, we go, those things are not God. Absolutely. Because the choices that you're making are choices that God doesn't want you making. So the outcome of that is the opposite of the things that God wants to pour into your life. So if you want the abundance of God, then you're going to have to make the choices that align with God so you can receive those abundant blessings. That instead of being dark are full of light, instead of being empty are full, instead of being dead, right, life and light, instead of being foolish or wise. Instead of making you sick, they make you healthier. Reminds me of the tree. How many of you ever read Psalm chapter 1? Blessed is the man who doesn't walk in, right? Da, da. But what that blessed person does is he meditates on the Word of God day in and day out, right? So he, instead of looking to sinners and scoundrels and mockers of God and His Word, they turn themselves to the Word and they say, in the Word is where I find life. And in the image we get from Psalm 1 of that being the case is the tree that says is planted by the waters and it bears its fruit in season and its leaves don't wither. It's an image that's meant for us to see the very things that God desires for us, which is what? It's abundant growth, it's life, it's prosperity, the fruit, the leaves, it's all which is good for you. Found where? From meditating on God's Word. Which, I've said this before, but I probably ought to say it again. When we think of meditating, it's not the empty your mind. That's the Far East idea of meditate. Right? Emptiness and nothingness. Clear my head with the sound of soothing water and the smell of incense burning all around me. Everything is... No. That's not the idea of meditating on the Word of God. To the Hebrew people, the idea of meditating in the ancient Near East was not emptying, it was filling. It was the concept of... You ever mumble? I do. Yeah, it's the idea of thinking upon the things of God, who He is, what He's done, what His Word says, what He promises, right? What He can do. And it's thinking, and it's that somebody that would see you meditating would just swear that you're mumbling. Can I illustrate? And that might look a little different, but anyways. God, you are so good, amazing. Using the words of truth and just allowing that to flow through your mind to think and to just ponder those things. Oh God, that you would be mindful of me. What'd you say? Are you mumbling? You have a bad habit of doing that. Are you talking to me? No, I wasn't actually. Oh, okay. I was just curious because I couldn't understand a word you saying. I was just thinking about God. His Word says this and His Word says that. And when He thinks of me, this is what His Word says that He thinks about. And when He looks at me and And he knows where I've come from, and he knows where he wants to see me go, and he knows what my temptations are, but yet he knows how he's more than enough for me, and he knows what's coming, and I don't, but he does, and I'm a little fearful of what's going to happen at work, but as I think about him and what he can bring and what he can do and what he can supply and his provisions and his miracles and his strength and his wonder-working power, and I'm running out of breath. I'm just thinking on these things. That's biblical meditation. Thinking on God. Some of you are going to think I'm crazy. He's pulling this out of there. He's got to be kidding me. That cannot be legit. Okay, blah, blah. Blessed is the man, verse 2. His delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law he meditates day and night. He's like a tree planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in season, and whose leaf does not wither. Whatever he does prospers. You mean I'm going to be a winner? You're a winner in Jesus. Winner, winner, chicken dinner. All right, that's enough of that craziness. So for those of you who are with us first time, whether on site or online, one of the things that I like to do is I like to talk about Jesus, and I like to take what I'm talking about to Jesus and the cross. And so in doing that, I thought it might be fine if we just kind of walk a little to the cross this morning. And I want to make the point that when we talk about wisdom and growth, oh, by the way, that's the Bible in that guy's hand in the scriptures. But anyways, when we talk about this, we look at the cross here, we want to think of Jesus, which you go, I get that, right? Absolutely, totally. We think of Jesus who, from the very beginning, knew exactly what we would need, and he knew the perfect time to provide what we needed. He had complete understanding. He knew exactly what would be required in order to solve the problem that in sin we become separated from God. He had the knowledge, he had the understanding, he had the perfect discernment of the perfect timing of when to come and to reconcile humanity back to God. He knew all of that, didn't have to guess it at all, he perfectly knew it. And the scripture says at the perfect time, he came with the perfect sacrifice and he goes to the cross and he dies on the cross. And when he pays that price, which is for sin, which is our sin, which is death, and through our faith, we become reconciled to God. He made that choice to do that for us. He is perfect wisdom. Supreme wisdom. He is excellence. And he is the first wise choice to God's abundance. I want to read to you John 10:10, and I want to share with you from the Passion Translation on this one. I love the way it's worded, and I thought I would share this with you. Here's what it says. He says, this is Jesus talking, and he says, I have come. So he's talking about, I've come to earth. I've come. There, I lost my place. I have come to give you everything in abundance, more than you expect, life in its fullness, until you overflow. You mean to tell me that God really wants to see my life overflowing with his goodness day in and day out? Yes. I like the ending. It says, until you overflow. Can I tell you something on that? That makes me picture pouring and pouring and pouring again and again over time, and just growing and growing and growing and growing in the abundant blessings of God's goodness in our lives until it's just overflowing and it's just pouring out all over the place. And wherever you go, the goodness of God's just pouring out, man. And when you talk, people hear the goodness of God in your words. And when they've made you mad, instead of getting, well, I tell you what, you sorry son, they see self-control. And they see peace. And when they speak poor of you behind your back and they gossip, instead of seeing you coming back around and standing face to face and confronting them with anger and vengeance, they see a heart of restoration and forgiveness. instead of seeing the world through you, they're seeing Jesus through you. Because the goodness of Jesus in you is just pouring out all around you. All right. I can't quit until I do this. I got to connect this to Scripture. You say, what in the world? You're already doing that. No, I want to connect this to our use of Scripture. What I mean by that is this. Wisdom has a starting point. The Scripture tells us in Proverbs chapter 9, verse 10, that the starting point is the fear of the Lord. It says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. So your growth, which begins with wisdom, must begin with the fear of the Lord. Now, when we use that word fear, it can be used in different ways. And by the way, we're going to use them all. And that is one, that we ought to have a reverence for God. Okay? He is a holy God, and we are to revere Him as such. Who made the heavens and the earth? God. We ought to have an awe of all that He has done. And we also ought to have a healthy, I don't want to get on God's bad side. Necessarily that God has a bad side. It's a euphemism, right? That I don't want to be on the negative side of God's judgment. Because God has the power and the authority over life and death. He can welcome one into the kingdom of heaven, and He can usher one out to hell. This is God. God numbers the days. God also gives life. He extends, but He can also take. He's a miracle-working God, but He can also withhold that miracle. There's no one like our God and no God but our God. Scripture tells us this. He is a God whom we ought to fear. This is the way that the Judeo-Christian faith has always understood worship of God. He's a God who ought to be feared because of what He can do, but also because of what He has done, baby. And what He can do, which is so good, but can also be death and separation from Him. We've got to keep the two in balance. I was, anybody ever use social media this week? Probably a few of you. Anyway, so I was one of those. I was using that, and I came across this video, and I don't even remember who it was at the time now. And I stopped and I listened, and boy, it hit me like a Mack truck. You ever hear something and you go, I think that's exactly right. And the guy said he had been caught in sin. And the other Christian said to him, when did you stop loving Jesus? He said, I never stopped loving Jesus. He said, well, to do what you did, at some point you had to fall out of love with Jesus. He said, I never once fell out of love with Jesus. He said, here's what I did. I stopped fearing God. I said, what? I stopped fearing the judgment of God for my sin. That my sin has a cost. And I was so focused on just love Jesus, which is good. And I forgot to pay attention to the fact that the choices I make come with a cost. And I needed to pay attention to that because it would have saved me. And then when I heard that, I was like, maybe there's something to be said of that in our culture milieu of today. We may praise the beautiful, loving name of Jesus more than we remind people that sin comes with a cost. That's why Jesus is so important. That's why we need the cross. That's why we need to have a full understanding of the Word of God. Because in that Word, we see a God who saves, but we also see a God who sends some to hell because they reject Him. That's the truth. I don't like it, but it's the truth. And we've got to preach and teach and learn the full counsel of God. So that's the fear of God. All right, so one might say it gets a little easier from here. Maybe. So one, the fear of God, but number two, that we would listen to God and His Word with a heart of expectancy. That when I seek God in His Word, I'm going to find Him. He's going to speak to me. He's going to teach me something. It may not be what I was trying to get, but He'll teach me something. So I'm just expecting that God's going to meet me there. And so I'm listening to whatever He may tell me. And when I get into that Word and I'm going through I'm in His Word and I'm with God. Lord, I don't know as much as I think I do. But You know a lot more than me. I'm not as good as probably sometimes I think I am. But Lord, You're always good. And You know me. And You know what You need for me. And You know what You want. You know You want me to da 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 da. And so Lord, I humbly bow before You. And I want to conform to Your Word, that Your precepts would teach me who You need me to be. And I'm expecting that You're going to speak that to me. Listen expectantly. Humble conformity when I'm coming into the Word. And the fourth thing is a diligent persistence. There's a show that was out. I've seen some clips of it. It's called The Big Bang Theory. And there's Sheldon, one of the main characters in the story. He lives next door from a lady who was dating one of his best friends. Her name is Penny. And I saw this clip where Sheldon goes across the hall, goes over to her door, and does this number. Penny. 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 And he just keeps doing this until she comes to the door. And when I was thinking of this diligent persistence, that popped into my head. It's weird, I know. But that's exactly what we think about, right? That we come seeking. It's like that, you know, the in Scripture, the story, the old lady goes to the judge, you know, the story, you know, it's a parable. It goes, it just, help me, help me, help me, help me, help me, help me, right? And Lord, and the Lord says, pray, pray, pray. Paul says, pray without ceasing. Just keep coming, keep coming, keep coming. I've asked for this 50 times and, oh, like today. Today's the 53rd time that I have laid this before You. Well, come 53 and then You can come 54 and then You can come 55, and if necessary, just keep coming. Because if You seek Me, You'll find Me. I invite all to come. Revelation, just come. Keep coming. I got more than enough for you. The question is not whether I have enough. It's whether You trust Me to provide enough for you. But you have the choice. Jesus said, He who has My commands is the one who keeps them. That's the one who loves Me. He who loves Me keeps My commands. John 14:21. And with that being said, I find that one of the most helpful ways to keep God's commands in our lives and to walk a life of righteousness is through prayer. You guys remember when I, for these who have been here, I can talk, I promise I can. I've been doing it for the last 20 minutes. Pray what? Pray what? 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 Pray what? Yes. God, guard and guide my words, my heart, my attitude, and my thoughts, for I know that they will influence my actions today, and I want my actions to bring You glory and honor. I want to take that, and I want to just twist it a little bit for today. God, guard and guide my words that I might speak words of life and worship to You. Guard and guide my heart that I may stay open to You today. Guard and guide my attitude that I may stay humble before you today and be conformed by you. Guard and guide my thoughts so that I stay focused on your way, your truth, and your life, your goodness. For I know that my words, my heart, my attitude, and my thoughts may influence my actions. And I want people to, watch this, listen, I want people to hear and see your goodness in me as I talk and as I walk today and as I interact with them. I want them to see that just overflowing out of me today. Less of me and more of you. Help me to die to myself that I might live fully for Christ today. Help me to count the costs as I carry the cross through my life today. God wants growth from your life, and that growth begins with wisdom. A wisdom that chooses to fear the Lord, to listen expectantly to the Lord, to humbly be conformed by the Lord and His Word, to have a diligent persistence for the Lord and His Word. And my final word of wisdom to you is this. Lest you think that I'm preaching about complete perfection, that that is the only way to please a good God. I'm not. My word of wisdom is this. Focus on the process more than the perfection. You cannot control the perfection. What you can control is the process. You can't control the outcome. You control what you put in. What happens in you is the work of God. Give Him the credit. But yet God gives you the choice. Will you put in the work? And will you take the walk? Trust the process. Start with wisdom. And see what God does over time. And how you grow. It's going to be good. I promise you it'll be good. Because the God who works in us is a good God. Wanting good for you. And wanting the world to know His goodness through you. His goodness is for a purpose. Father, I thank you for your goodness. And I thank you for the wisdom that reminds us that you do want good for our lives, and yet we do have a part in that journey. That we would choose to walk in the light as you are in the light. That we would choose to embrace the truth and have the smarts to be able to see that ways that do not align with your word are not helpful for us in growing in goodness. We will not flourish in ways that bring you honor. It will be short-term and it will perish. It will spoil. It will fade away. It will be cut away. It will not endure and last for all of eternity. Help us with the things we need. Help us with the wisdom that will grow us. And help our faith to keep us grounded in Jesus Christ. Amen.